I'm Dan Hughes in the Old Time Radio Corner. Mr. and Mrs. North, Jerry and Pam, were an amateur detective husband-wife team who appeared in 26 novels written by the husband-wife team, Richard and Frances Lockridge. The first novel appeared in 1940. A Broadway play of the Norths ran through the first half of 1941, and a movie appeared in 1942, starring Gracie Allen as Pam North. The radio version began late in 1942. Lighthearted banter between a happily married couple seems a far stretch for a detective show when most detectives were written as hard-boiled men, often with alcohol problems. But it worked well and was on the air for 13 years. This is the pilot episode of Mr. and Mrs. North. It first aired on December 30th, 1942, and is called Picnic.
We'd like to introduce you to Mr. and Mrs. North. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to this new series of programs, which each week at this time will present America's most attractive young couple, Mr. and Mrs. North, starring Peggy Conklin in the role she created on the Broadway stage, with Carl Eastman as Mr. North. In the neighborhood where Pam and Jerry North live, they're known as that delightful, though slightly delirious, duo. To Mr. Robinson the grocer, there's no customer whom he'd rather wait on than Pamela North, even though she occasionally pays her bill with an unsigned check. Over at the Dodson Publishing Company, Jerry North, rising young editor, not only discusses Eugene O'Neill with the president, but also Dick Tracy with the office boys. In short, Pam and Jerry will often amuse you, sometimes confuse you, but will certainly never bore you. As our story opens, it's early Sunday morning. So now, let's meet Mr. and Mrs. North.
Time is it?
It's 8:30. You've already slept 12 hours. You want to spend a whole day in bed?
Yeah.
Oh. Jerry, please wake up. You're spoiling all my plans.
Plans? What plans?
For the picnic, dear. You know, the picnic.
Oh, yes, dear. We'll talk about it in the morning. Good night, dear.
Jerry, come on now and get up. Get up.
Pam, don't pull the covers off. I'm cold.
But it's warm, dear, for the picnic. It's a beautiful day out.
How can I tell? Pull the shades up.
Darling, the shades are up.
Oh, Pam, go to bed. It's a horrible day. The worst day of the year.
But it's going to be nice. I can tell.
All right. Give me the phone.
What are you going to do?
Hello, operator. Give me the Weather Bureau.
Isn't that silly, Joey? I just finished telling
you. Hello, Weather Bureau. What are you planning for today? Cloudy, followed by rain, and colder. Would you recommend a picnic? You wouldn't? Thanks very much.
Jerry, that's perfectly ridiculous. You know they have a little man down there with rheumatism. And every time it hurts him, they say it's going to rain. Now hurry and take your shower, dear. I've got your gray suit all laid out in the dressing room.
Darling, I'm not going to wear my best suit to a picnic. Especially a rainy picnic. I'll just get my brown suite, huh?
Oh, not that old, ugly brown tweed.
Now, you don't seem to understand. The material was woven by hand. That suit comes from London.
Yes, but we don't have as many fogs over here, dear, and people will see you in it. Now, hurry, Jerry, come on.
By the way, Dr. Livingston, who's making this trip with us?
Well, I haven't invited anyone yet, but I thought I'd call Herb and Kate. and the Flemings, mm-hmm. and Charlie and Jean, and, oh, yes, darling, that French fellow, Pierre Dubois, he's charming.
Charming. Well, that settles it. Count me out.
Now, dear, it's so silly of you to get angry every time Pierre kisses my hand.
Well, I don't mind him kissing your hand, but I do get so when he starts biting your nails.
Jerry, you do love me, don't you?
Yes, I suppose so.
Well, say you do.
All right, I love you.
And I love you, too. Now, put on your gray suit, dear.
I'm telling you right now, if Pierre Dubois
but
goes...
I'm only inviting him for your sake. He can gather wood and make the fire. And besides, he knows all about the birds and the flowers.
Really? Do you think his mother should have told him? Your stockings are in the sink.
Well, take a hot tub, dear. Go soak yourself.
I can't. Your girdle's in there.
Just a minute, Jerry. Hello? Mr. Moscone? This is Mrs. North.
Who are you talking to, dear?
Mr. Moscone, the butcher. Hello, Mr. Moscone. I wonder whether you do me a big favor. Could you come over here right away?
Pam, it's Sunday.
I know, Jerry, I know. What's that? You will come over? Oh, Mr. Moscone, you are the nicest butcher. Oh, yes, you are. Bye.
I think that's an imposition, Pam. Why should he come over here on Sunday?
Well, that's all right, Jerry. He won't mind. I know.
Wait a minute. What do you mean, you know?
Well, I've done some favors for him.
Now, what kind of favors can you do for a butcher besides buying meatballs from him?
Oh, dear, you say such amusing things. But you'll feel better when you get out in the hot sun. Uh-huh. Incidentally, while you were having coffee, I made the calls, and everybody will meet here in a few hours, about noon.
Well, there's the doorbell, Pam. You'll have to answer it. I'm not dressed.
Well, it could be Mr. Moscone. Are you expecting anyone?
Now, you know I'm not. I don't understand why I can't sleep on Sunday morning. Other men do.
You really think I should answer it, Jerry? After all, it's so early, and people shouldn't come...
I guess nobody's home, Ellen. It's funny, this is the 21st, isn't it?
Yes, Harold. Are you sure this is the right address?
It says North on the bell here.
Well, maybe you misunderstood the invitation. Just when is brunch served?
Brunch is a combination of breakfast and lunch, I think. And I distinctly remember, just as we were leaving Charlie Henry's the other night, Mrs. North said, come early, because Mr. North doesn't like to sleep late on Sunday morning.
Well, I'll ring once more and see what happens. Oh, good morning.
Hello, Mrs. North.
Oh, good morning, Ellen and Harold. How nice of you to drop by. Won't you come in?
Yes, thank you.
Oh, it's rather drizzly out. Our raincoats are a little damp. Well, here, let me have them. We'll hang them right here in the hall.
Oh, fine. That's it.
Now, come right in here in the living room. Just make yourself comfortable for a while.
My, what a lovely room. Oh, it's so charming. And all those books. Well, there must be over 1,000.
1,003. Martha, that's our maid, counted them last Thursday. She didn't have much to do. Wait till I call Mr. North. He's still in his robe. Oh, Jerry, you remember Ellen and Harold, don't you?
Ellen and Harold who?
Oh, why, beg your pardon.
How do you do, Helen and Harold? Awful out, isn't it?
No, dear, Ellen and Harold. You remember Charlie Henry's the other night?
Oh, yes. A nice party, wasn't it?
Certainly was. It was swell meeting you, Mrs. North. Mr. North.
Oh, you can call me Pam and call Jerry. Tell me, Ellen, do you often take walks around here on Sunday morning?
We always do. Oh, no. We never walk in Greenwich Village. We always do our walking in the Bronx.
In the Bronx? Really?
Yes. That's where we live.
Well, my old boss used to live up there, Johnson, I think his name. You two been married long?
6 months.
No, his name was Mallory. Oh. Any children?
Jerry. don't you think you'd better go in and get dressed, dear? Our guests will be here soon. We're having guests, you know, Ellen.
Why, yes, we sort of expected you would.
Oh, did you? Well, dear, I'll go in and help you find your socks.
Oh, you don't have to. They're in the top drawer of the dresser.
Martha and I moved them yesterday. House cleaning. We vacuumed everything.
You vacuumed? Oh, the socks, yes. Excuse us, will you, for a moment?
Sure, of course.
Just make yourself comfortable. There's some cigars and peanut brittle over there. Be right back.
All right, Pam. What's the socks mystery about?
Jerry, why did you invite those people here?
Why did I invite... Now, listen, you figure out who they are and then get in touch with me. I'm going to get dressed.
By the way, where is that brown tweed suit? Have you seen it?
But I thought you invited them here. I don't know.
Ma'am, didn't I wear that suit 2 weeks ago? I'm sure I put it in this closet. Funny.
I knew their names and their faces.
Now, who in the world is that?
Well, that must be Mr. Marconi. Now, darling, you stay here and I'll take care of everything.
Wait a minute, Sam. I haven't found that brown tweed...
Oh, hello, Harold and Ellen.
Hello.
Somebody at the door will be right back, and then we'll have a nice short talk.
Ah, good morning, Mrs. Enhart. How's everything?
Oh, come in, Miss Marconi. Let's go into the living room.
Shoes. I'd like to tell you, Mrs. Enhart, how...
Oh, awfully nice of you to come over on Sunday.
If you would do something for me, I'd do something for you. It works a half a half. 50-50. What you got, do you see?
Pardon me. This is Mr. and Mrs. Adams, Mr. Marconi.
Oh, how do you do?
I'm pleased to meet you. This is Mrs. Nord. She's a wonderful woman, no?
Yes.
You know what she's a do for me? Something that's just so marvelous.
Oh, that's all right, Mr. Marconi. Now, about this favor...
Mrs. Nord. My wife was there. My kids are there. Most to tell you appreciate.
Say, Pam, I can't find that brown suit. Now, where in the world...
Mrs.
Nord. Oh, hello, Mr. Marconi.
Mrs. Nord. I'm a try to tell you your wife a thank you.
Thank you. What for?
What a for? Because she's a giving me this a brown and sweet of food.
Now listen, Sam. We've been in this bedroom for 10 minutes and you haven't made any sense yet. Why did you give my brown tweed suit to Mr. Marconi?
Prince.
What is Prince? Prince who?
Oh, dear, don't be dense. You know I'm talking about the Airedale I used to have. His name was Prince, and his coat was just the color of that suit. One day, Prince died, and I was so unhappy I couldn't eat for a week.
Well?
Well, every time you wore that brown tweed, it all came back to me. And I lost my appetite.
For a week?
Sometimes longer.
Pam, I'm going to count 10. And when I'm finished, I'm going to kill you.
Dear, you're so whimsical. But I'm glad it's settled once and for all. It bothered me a little. Well, let's go out and tell Mr. Marconi about the picnic steak, shall we?
All right, Prince.
Mr. North, I want to ask you something.
Well, look, let's get right to the point, ma'am.
Yes, sir. Now, Mr. Marconi.
Yes, Mr.
You see, we're having guests today. I told you that, didn't I, Ellen? And we wondered if you could get us 6 nice, juicy steaks.
For nobody else, Mrs. North. But for you especially, I open up at the shop on a Sunday. I got it a piece of sirloin. It's melting in your mouth like a hunk of porterhouse.
Why don't you give us the porterhouse?
The sirloin is better. You wait here. I come back before you can say something. Like a Donovan.
See, Mrs. North. Your butcher certainly is obliging.
He should be. He's wearing my best suit.
Oh, darling, let's not start that again. It might be your favorite suit, but you know how I hate it.
We don't have that trouble. Harold's best suit is his only suit.
Look here, Harold. You're not a communist, are you?
No, I'm an architect. I design houses if somebody will let me design a house.
Houses? Oh, Jerry, don't you want me to help you pick out your tie to match your socks?
To match my socks? Here we go again. Excuse us, Harold and Ellen, just for a moment.
Yes, just keep right on with that peanut brittle.
We don't want to spoil our appetite.
Well, smoke the cigars, then.
Well, I'm prepared for anything and hoping against the worst. What is it now?
Something terrible. I forgot that I invited Harold and Ellen to brunch this morning.
Oh, that's not so terrible. They can come to the picnic.
Yes, I know, but you see, I also invited 8 other very nice people, including Mr. and Mrs. Willoughby.
Mr. Willoughby? You mean that writer from Texas the firm's been trying to get under contract for the last 4 months? Oh, Pam, why did you do this? He hates people. He hates crowds. This is going to cost me the biggest contract of my career.
Well, I thought that you could close the deal over a nice, quiet brunch.
quiet brunch.
And that's why I invited Harold, because I thought since Mr. Willoughby was from Texas, he must like houses and would want to build one, and Harold could design it for him. Everything will turn out beautifully, don't you see?
Oh, sure, I see. Now, look, there's just one chance. We've got to call off that picnic, Marv, right away. They're the ones I'm afraid of. Anybody who's crazy enough to go on a picnic today, I don't trust.
All right, dear, you call them. Anyway, the picnic people would never mix with the brunch people.
Look, you're taking this very lightly. Pam, just see if you can understand what I'm trying to tell you. Now, if anything happens and I lose that contract, I'll lose my job. Then we won't have any money, so there won't be any place to live. No roof over our heads, no clothes to wear. How would you like that?
Jerry, that's what you've always wanted.
What do you mean?
No responsibilities. And so you see, Harold and Ellen, it was all a mistake. Jerry's calling off the picnic right now, and we're going to have the brunch after all. We'll eat pretty soon. I hope you're not too hungry.
Oh, no. We had the peanuts brittle, didn't we, Ellen?
Yes, it was very filling. Now, Harold, I think we'd better talk about how you should handle Mr. Willoughby. I don't think you should start the conversation by mentioning houses. Sort of sneak into it.
Sneak into it?
Yes. You see, Mr. Willoughby is a southerner, and you might talk about something that will make him feel at home, like cotton or hound dogs.
Mrs. North, I don't know anything about cotton, and I never went hunting.
Oh. Well, then try something else. Maybe Fort Sumter or Southern Fried Chicken. You're smart, Harold. It'll come to you.
Ellen, pass me some peanut brittle.
Well, my darling, get your fertile mind working again. If you can wriggle out of this one, you'll get time and a half.
Anything wrong, Jerry?
Oh, not much. Only that your picnic friends don't answer their phones, and that probably means they'll be here any minute. Well, Einstein, what have you got to say? Neat little problem, isn't it?
No, Jerry. It's not so difficult. I think I can handle it.
Wait a minute. Don't look at me like that.
But it's quite obvious, darling. You have to suddenly become very, very sick. Now, Jerry, you have to lie quietly or nobody will believe you're sick in bed.
Yeah, well...
Stop squirming. Ellen, hand me that bandage, will you please?
Here you are.
Pam, at least tell me what's supposed to be wrong with me.
Well, I can't tell yet, dear, until I see how much bandage we have.
Pam, in another minute, I'm going to explode.
Jerry, keep that expression. Looks just like the mumps.
Oh, Mum.
Dear, I wonder who that is. Harold, you and Ellen had better come with me and wait in the kitchen. Now, Jerry, do something. Get a temperature. We'll be right back.
Well, where is the kitchen, Pam?
It's right through that door there at the left. Now, hurry.
Okay, Pam, you can go right ahead. We're in.
Oh, fine. Oh, Pierre Dubois. Hello, Pierre.
Mrs. North, bonjour. It is wonderful to see you again. May I kiss the hand?
Kiss my hand? I don't think so, Pierre. I have some new nail polish on it and it may not agree with you. Come right in.
Wait.
By the way, Pierre, have you noticed the weather out?
Oh, oui, it is getting nastier. But you are always right, Pamela, and you say the weather will clear. So what difference does it make?
Oh, I see. Well, it's not only that, Pierre... But Jerry is very ill.
Oh, man, no. But how terrible. What is the matter?
We don't know yet. The specialist and the surgeon haven't arrived.
But this must have happened since you telephoned. What are the symptoms?
Well, he's shaking on one side like he has a temperature and shivering on the other side like he has a chill.
Sacre bleu. What are you doing to relieve this?
Temporarily hot and cold water bottles.
Oh. But he must want his friends at this moment. I insist. I go to him.
Oh, just a minute, Pierre. I'd better ask him first. I'll call into him. Oh, Jerry, can you hear me?
Yes, Pam.
Pierre Dubois would like to see you.
Just go!
All right, dear. The doctor will be here soon. You see how it is, Pierre? Delirious.
Well, is there something I can do to help? Something?
Yes, there is. You see, excitement would be very bad for Jerry right now.
Huh?
So if you'll go outside and wait in your car until the picnic crowd arrives... Why, you can tell them how sorry we are, and they'll just all go away.
Oh, naturally. I will do this immediately.
Oh, thank you, Pierre. Thank you. I'll show you to the door.
You can depend on me, Mrs. North.
Oh, dear, I wonder who that is now. Wait a second, Pierre. Oh, Mr. Willoughby.
How do you do, my dear? Of course you remember my wife, Mary Bell.
Yes, of course. Nice to see you again, Mrs. Willoughby. Won't you both come in?
Thank you.
Thank you.
just let me have your things. I see it's still raining.
Yes, indeed. Mighty hard.
Oh, I beg your pardon. This is Mr. Pierre Dubois, Mr. and Mrs. Willoughby.
Delighted, I'm
how
sure.
Do you do, sir?
It is most unfortunate that you have arrived at this time.
What do you mean, sir, unfortunate?
Oh, it's nothing. That is...
What do you mean, nothing? The condition of Mr. North, he is most terribly sick. He's shaking and quivering.
Oh, Mrs. North, I'm afraid we've come at the wrong time. But if there's anything we can do...
Mrs. Willoughby, there is. You can stay. Another woman can be such a comfort at a time like this.
In that case, I will stay also.
Oh, no, no, Pierre, no. You could... Well, you know, outside.
Oh, may we. I remember. I will do this now, Mrs. Willoughby.
Au revoir.
Won't you come into the living room? Sit down.
Thank you. But I rather feel Mrs. North and Mary Bell and I in the way.
Oh, no, no, you're not. I may need some help if Jerry gets one of his attacks. And we're going to have brunch, too.
Well, don't worry. We'll be glad to stay, my dear.
Pam. Oh, Pam.
Just a minute, Jerry. Excuse me, please.
Oh, well, certainly.
Yes, dear. Are you having a pain?
What pain? Where did you put my sock?
You see, the attack is starting again.
What are you talking about, Pam? Just tell me where you hit my clothes.
Oh, dear, it's getting worse. It's the cold weather.
The cold weather? But the cold weather hasn't started yet.
I know, but I guess he feels it coming. Excuse me just for a minute. I'll be right back.
Certainly.
Jefferson?
Yes?
Is this Mr. North, the gentleman who's been trying to contact you for his publishing company?
Yes, he's the one. Acts mighty strange, doesn't it?
Yes, indeed. I'd think twice before I had any business dealings with him.
As far as I can see, Pam, everything's swell if Pierre just heads off the picnic bunch and we carry right on with Willoughby. The only thing I don't like is you telling him I have fits.
Well, you can always explain that, dear, or have one. Now, hurry and get dressed. I'll tell them you're all better. That'll fix things.
Yeah, that'll fix things. Good. Oh, well, go on out there and confuse somebody. I'll come in as soon as I'm dressed.
All right, dear.
Well, Miss North, you look much brighter. Your husband all right?
He certainly is, Mr. Willoughby. He's as good as new. Better.
He made a rather quick recovery, didn't he, Miss North?
Yes, it's that new drug Jerry takes, sulfur thingamajig. It does everything. Oh, that's the door. Excuse me, will you please?
Certainly.
It's busy around here, isn't it? I'll be right back.
Hello, Mrs. Enos. I got a something for you that's going to make your mouth to water all over the kitchen.
Oh, that's wonderful. That's wonderful, Mr. Marconi. Here, I'll take them. Thank you so much.
Wait a minute. We go inside. You look at them all. Let's go in the living room.
Well, all right. Go right in.
Okay, I want to tell you, Mrs. North, these are state... Oh, excuse me. You got a company.
Yes. Mr. and Mrs. Willoughby, I'd like to have you meet a friend of mine, Mr. Marconi. He's an expert on food, especially meat.
Why, is that so? Well, I'm very happy to know you, sir. Matter of fact, I'm preparing a book right now about food. Almost finished. I call it cooking for men only.
Why, Mr. Willoughby, I thought you wrote serious books about cowboys and cattle.
Yes, he does, Miss North. But this book of recipes has been Jefferson's hobby for many years. He only needs a few more to complete the manuscript. And I might tell you he's insane on the subject.
This is most exciting, Mr. Moscone, meeting a gourmet like you. Say, I've been looking for something for 10 years. Maybe you've got it. A great recipe for a steak sauce.
Steak sauce? I got it the best. You like it to taste?
Well, I wondered if I could have it for my book, if you don't mind.
Sure. This recipe is great. I only give it to people I like. It's a handed down from my great-grandfather to my grandfather to my father to me. But I don't hand it to my son. He's a bigger crook. Wait till I put it in the steak in the kitchen. Then I give you the steak recipe. Come on, Mrs.
We'll be right back, Mr. Willoughby. Isn't that nice about the recipe?
It sure is.
Jefferson?
Yeah?
Something's puzzling me. Do you think this Mr. Marconi is a tradesman?
Why, that's absurd. It's Sunday, for one thing. No tradesman would wear such a perfectly tailored imported tweed.
Well, that's what I thought. This brunch we're here for. Well, maybe the custom is different up north here.
Huh?
Evidently, one's supposed to bring some food.
Oh, I think you're right, my dear. What'll we do about it?
Well, why don't we go out quietly and come back with the pie?
Yeah, but I don't want to take the chance of losing Mr. Moscone. I want that recipe, if it measures up the expectations I wanted for my book.
Now, Jefferson, you'll be able to talk to him all afternoon. Now, let's go, if I'll be have the opportunity.
Well, ma'am, I'm all dressed now. Hey, Pam. Mr. Willoughby. Pam, where are you?
Jerry, what's the matter?
Hello, Mr. North.
How's your headache, Mr. North?
Never mind that. Where's Mr. Willoughby, Pam?
Well, I left him and his wife right here in the living room just a second ago.
Harold. Ellen, did you see them?
Oh, no, Harold and I have been hiding in the kitchen.
Pam. Pam, please try to remember. Did you do anything? Did you say anything that could have upset them? Think, Pam. Concentrate.
I don't know what to say, Jerry. Maybe they went for a walk.
Walk? They probably walked out on us. What a wonderful surprise you planned. I was going to get the contract, and Harold was going to design a house. Well, won't you be surprised tomorrow night when I come home and tell you I've been fired?
Well, folks, I'm going to leave you to fight. That's very healthy. I'm going to take the wife and the kids to a farm in Indiana. 2 weeks on vacation. So long, and thanks again for the brown and sweetest food.
Goodbye, Mr. Moscone. And thank you very much for everything.
Now, this is the end. First, in the middle of a rainstorm, you start to arrange a picnic. Then you have to call off the picnic because you arranged the brunch. You give away my best suit, you drag Ellen and Harold down here from the Bronx, and finally I lose the best writer I ever hoped to get. Pam, I don't know why I married you.
Jerry, you were in love with me.
What makes you so sure?
Well, it was before the draft, dear.
For over 15 minutes. The last of the Willoughbys, I guess.
Well, don't feel too badly about it, Mr. North. I don't.
That's right, Jerry. There are other writers. They'd be better than Mr. Willoughby.
Oh, yeah? I'll buy all you can find. Oh, hey, maybe they came back.
I'll go, Mr. North.
Hurry, Harold.
Yeah, it must be Willoughby. I've got one of my hunches.
Oh, Pamela, I've been sitting in the car for half an hour.
Oh, it's you. Some hunch.
Jerry! You are all better. Oh, my friend, this is wonderful, merveilleux.
That's pretty good.
What's the trouble, Pierre? Something happened outside?
Oh, but no, that is the trouble. Nothing at all happened. But now that you have recovered, Jerry, we can go on the picnic, yes?
You said it. Look, Pierre, you go go and wait in the car, see? When that gang comes, bring him up in a body. Sure, we'll go on a picnic. Of course, we'll go out in the rain. What do we care? Come on, Pierre, I'll take you to the door.
Jerry, are you sure you're feeling all right?
Oh, Jerry, my friend, I'm very glad to see you so happy. We'll have some fun, yes?
Yes, I'll say we will. Pierre, who do you see coming up the front steps?
Why, your friends, Monsieur and Madame Willoughby.
Well, Mr. and Mrs. Willoughby, what happened to you? We thought you'd left.
Oh, no, Mr. North, but why aren't you in bed? We thought you were seriously ill.
Why, I never felt better. Just recovered. It was miraculous. Pierre, forget what I just told you. Do what Pam told you in the first place.
Yeah, but why is this? I go, but I don't understand. I'm confused, but I go.
Yeah, I'll leave the door unlocked. When it's all over, you come back, Pierre. Come right in, won't you?
Thanks.
Let's go right into the living room again. I want you to be very comfortable.
Well, we're very pleased to see you're out of bed, Mr. North, and fully recovered from your fit.
There you are, Mrs. North.
Glad you returned, Mr. Willoughby. Awfully glad.
Well, my child, in honor of your brunch and to show our appreciation for your hospitality, we wanted to accept this little pie.
Why, Mr. Willoughby, isn't that sweet?
Nothing.
Oh, thank you both so much. Oh, Adam.
How do you do?
Harold is a wonderful architect. Designs houses, you know. You do need a new house in Texas, don't you, Mr. Willoughby?
Well, frankly, we are going to build a new estate, but I'm surprised. I thought Mrs. Willoughby and I were the only ones who knew that. Amazing. But I'll talk to you about that later on in the day, young man.
Oh, that'll be swell, Mr. Willoughby. Swell.
Well, now, Mr. North, I've got some news for you.
Yes?
In return for that marvelous service you did for me today, I talked it over with my wife, and I decided to let your company handle my publishing exclusively.
Really? Well, I don't know how to thank you, but what's the service I did for you?
Why, it was through you all I met your friend, Mr. Moscone. Now, if you bring him out, I'll take down that recipe. I want to test it out right away. It might be just what I've been looking for so many years.
Mr. Willoughby,
Do
you have to have it right now?
I can't wait. This little book of mine's going to the printers in 2 days. Where is Miss Marsoni?
Well, he left, and he won't be back for 2 weeks.
What? Well, can't you catch him? Well, where did he go?
Went to a farm in Indiana. That's all he told me.
He told you? Do you mean to stand there and tell me you let him get away? I never heard of a thing like that in my life.
Mr. Willoughby, we didn't know you wanted the recipe right away.
If you'd spend less time having fits and pay more attention to human welfare in general, you know those things.
I know, but
Come on, Maribel. I don't think these people are my friends.
Wait a minute, Mr. Willoughby.
Well?
Oh, I just remembered. I've got the recipe. Mr. Moscone once gave it to me as a special favor, and I... Oh, the only thing is...
What?
I can't remember where I put it.
Oh, Pam, can't you find it someplace? Look, don't you have any idea where it is?
No, I haven't the faintest idea.
Well, that settles it. I've never heard of such a crazy household in all my born days. Come on, Maribel. Let's get out of here.
Listen, everybody's arrived downstairs, and they insist you have this picnic.
Oh, Pierre, go away.
Go away? But they're all waiting. Herb says we haven't much time.
Oh, wait a second. Herb, time. Time, Herb, darling, darling. That's where it is, the recipe. In my herb book, under time, spices. I've got it right here on the shelf.
But this is no time to talk of recipes. Are we going on this picnic or not? They're waiting.
Well, I don't know, Pierre. Mr. Willoughby doesn't like crowds.
Oh, nonsense. I want to try this recipe right away on one of Mr. Moscone's sticks. We love picnics, don't we, Maribel?
Yes, Jefferson, I think we'd like it.
Mr. Willoughby, here it is, the recipe. Wait. And I've got all the ingredients right here in the house. And if you don't think it's the best steak sauce you ever tasted, why, well, you will.
Well, then everything is settled and we will have a wonderful time. Yes, no?
And, darling,
yes.
Look out the window. The sun is shining. I told you it would be a beautiful day. Remember?
Yes, I remember. Look, you all go down to the cart. I'll be along in just a minute. There's something I have to do.
Well, hurry up now. Don't take too long.
Oh, no,
I'll see you in a minute.
Hello, operator. Let me have the Weather Bureau. Hello, Weather Bureau. What are you planning for today? Fair and warmer? Very sunny? Would you recommend a picnic? Well, you would, huh? Well, why don't you guys make up your mind?
Be sure to tune in next week at this same time for another visit with Mr. and Mrs. North, starring Peggy Conklin. Original music for this program was under the direction of Don Voorhees. This series is written and produced by Howard Harris and Martin Goff. Dan Seymour speaking and bidding you all good night. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.
From December 30th, 1942, Mr. and Mrs. North in Picnic, the pilot show for the series. If there's a particular old-time radio show you'd like to hear again, or if you'd just like to talk radio, drop me a note at Dan, D-A-N, at radiofun.info, I-N-F-O. And don't forget this weekend, Friday, May 13, Saturday, May 14, the Cincinnati Old-Time Radio Convention. For more information, go to radiofun.info. Thanks for listening. Until next time in the Old Time Radio Corner, I'm Dan Hughes.